Start in Acts chapter 12. I'm going to have your Bibles open and ready for that passage. Acts chapter 12. Sure good to be home. We're thankful for the good week we had last week and pretty glad to be back. A couple of announcements to add. I'm giving this second hand, but I think if I understood it right, Gene had called Carla this morning and said that he and Margaret were planning on being here, and she has gone recently, and they found out the reason her back has not recovered. She has two vertebrae that are broken. And either they didn't know that at the time or something else has happened since, but she's going to have some. Potentially some surgery on that. But that's you remember when the accident happened several months ago, but she hadn't recovered very well. That's a reason why something's going on with her back that they had not picked up earlier. Let's remember her. Also, got a text last night from Marilyn Rice that it was announced several weeks ago that she and Leisha were going to begin worshiping at South Coleman. She has a lot of family there and feels like she needs them at this time. And certainly we want to, if you weren't aware of that, we would certainly wish her nothing but the best. But if you wonder about Marilyn and Leisha, that's where they are. Cole and I had a great week last week. The meeting was about 1,200 miles we drove. We figured up coming back on the last day, a long trip, but it was very, very, very profitable and such an encouraging time for us. It's a small church of about 30 or so. They did not announce it. It was just us 30, basically. There were the same people there every night, but it was just really good to be together with them every night. We just studied several passages, several themes of who Jesus is, various roles he plays in our life, and it was really, really good for me, and I pray it was for them as well. I let the teenagers know that tonight, being the second Sunday of the month, we announced several weeks ago that we would start that back up tonight. That'll be at Julian and Judy's house. It was going to be at Brent and Nancy's, and that's not going to be possible because of the surgery that Brent recently had. So Julian and Judy have volunteered for that. So I let the kids know, if you don't know how to get there, you can carpool with us. We'll make sure the kids get there and back. Just let Julian and Judy know before you leave. Let them have a head count of what they might need to have prepared. And if you want me and Carla to help with the traveling or just with the directions, just let us know and we'll take care of that for you. Before we have a study, let's have a word of prayer real quick. God and Father, we're so thankful to you. This is the Lord's Day. What a beautiful day that this is. What a pleasant day it is. We're thankful that so many days ago, so many Lord days ago, your Son came forward from the grave, setting the first fruits that we will join him in. We're here today to remember that and to honor you and to worship you, and we are so thankful for this opportunity. We're thankful for our health that allows us to be here. So thankful for that. And we pray, Father, for those that are suffering at this time. Please be with Brent, that the surgery on his ankle, that he has full and complete recovery from that, that the therapy goes well, and that he has no hindrances going forward. We're thankful that James is not kept back in the hospital and that he is back at home, and pray that things will go better for him. Pray, Father, you'll be with Susan Bailey and her what seems to be upcoming hip surgery, that everything goes good. We pray for Margaret. We're not certain of all the things going on with her back, but pray that she will be able to have some relief. We're mindful, Father, of the various ones at the Oakland Church in Limestone County that have been plagued by the virus recently, especially those, Father, whom we know and that are part of our family. Please be with the extended Corley family, the extended Hartzell family, and there may be others that are impacted by that here. Pray, Father, that all those that are dealing with that might recover. And we selfishly, Father, ask for some better days ahead, that the vaccine might be fast, that there is continued safety for those of us that are here. We are certainly not negligent to recognize how, at least outwardly, we have been blessed, and we thank you for that and pray for your continued blessings. And as we go into the study, Father, help us with all these things going on. There are a lot of things. Help us to clear our minds. Help us to engage in this period of worship in a way that pleases you and brings honor to you and glory to you, because you are certainly worth it and certainly worthy of it. Help us to worship you well. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts chapter 12. I'm just going to set the stage. You'll remember the text very well. This is the first what we would call a martyr. And it wasn't just a Christian. It was an apostle. It was one of the 12. James, in verse 2, was killed. And it seems, from just reading through the context, just trying to put the pieces together, it seems that there was a lot of joy when that happened. And so Herod, decides to do it again. If killing one of them makes me popular, well, what if I kill another one? And so Peter is arrested. That's in verse 4. Peter's arrested, and they got him in jail. And as soon as the sun comes up, they're fixed to go get him. And there's going to be another death. And so that night, in verse 12, and we know how that ends. You know, an angel comes and Peter's saved from that. But the Christians don't know that. And in verse 12, it says, when he considered the thing, we're talking about Peter after he's out. When he considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Why do you think there were so many gathered together then? Why do you think on that night there were so many Christians who had gotten together? The context tells us why. This was a stressful time. This was a trying time. Not just one of their own, one of the chosen, one of those apostles is dead. And for all they know, they don't know about what happened at the jail earlier in that night. For all they know, Peter is next. And in their mind, it may very well be they're hurting and they're concerned and there's some fear and they're scared who's to say who might be next? James is gone. Peter's next. Perhaps they would have been number three. Who knows? There's a lot of fear and a lot of worry, and they needed one another, and they needed some encouragement, and they came and they prayed together. You know, they could have done that separately. I could have prayed at my house. You could have prayed at your house. John, Mark, and them, they could have prayed. They could have all done that individually. They came together to pray at a time when they needed each other. And that's what I want us to look at today. The blessings of us being together right this second. The blessings we have. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here with you. And I want to hold your hands up in that. And I want you to go away with some renewed zeal and confidence and fire that you are right to be here. And do not be ashamed that you are here. Incredible blessings of coming together. Wolves know it. Animals know it. There are strength in numbers. You ever heard the phrase, the strength of the wolf is the pack? And the strength of the pack is the wolf. There's no separation of the two. Even wolves, their strength is in their number. And we all know how loners are vulnerable in pretty much any realm of life. And that's what I want to look at today. There are some side effects of what's happened in our country with the corona. We think of it as a medical event, and it is. We think of it as a health issue, and it is. But there are some spiritual side effects that are kind of getting shoved under the rug. And I just want to remind us of what blessings we have in being together, because that's kind of been lost. We are not together like we used to be. And I'm talking personally with us, but it's spread across. It's not limited to us. It's basically become universal in the country because of what's going on. We're not together. And 6 months ago, we would have had a problem with that. But now we're not together, and because of all the things going on, we're not really worried about it. We're not even concerned, maybe, about it. We're okay with it. Trying times, just like in Acts 12. Struggling. We need encouragement. We need one another's strength. And the truth is, we're not getting it like we used to get it. We're closed off like never before. That's a side effect of this. It's a health issue, absolutely. But we have become shut off in a lot of ways from each other. And it's been going on for months. I want to just play a game with you for a minute. Could you imagine, let's go back to January, and I want to imagine you're talking to a Christian, and you're going to say to them, or somebody wants to say to us, you're fixing to go 5 straight months without ever assembling. Now, we're not prophets, so they would first say, oh, stop it. But okay. But if we're taken seriously, you're about to go 5 straight months without ever assembling, never coming together with brethren. And the answer, wow, I must have been in the hospital. Wow, I must have been really sick. No, never got sick. There was the potential of it, but it didn't happen. And Would you have believed it? If somebody had told you, you would go months and months and months, would you have believed it? I'm going to suggest probably you would not have believed it, but that is what's happened. A side effect is that there's maybe some complacency and some comfortableness, even maybe some contentedness. It might not be true, but if it is, then it's got to be dealt with. It's got to be at least acknowledged. Or the complacency just goes on. The contentedness just goes on. The definition, we're talking about blessings of being together. And some words we know what they mean, but just, you know, nothing wrong with looking up the definition. The word that we would use as together means one with another. A second definition was as to unite. We get it. Those are pretty good working definitions. Together means with one another. Together means some form of uniting. Turn over to chapter 14. That word appears quite a bit. I'm just going to look at a couple because they're really close to where we are. We don't have to go searching. I'm just going to give context. We're not going to go back and read the whole deal. This is after the first missionary journey. Paul and Barnabas have come back to Antioch. And in verse 27, when they came and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them. And you can read the rest. When the church came together. Okay, chapter 15, what we call the Jerusalem Council, the issue with circumcision and so on. Chapter 15, verse 6, the apostles and the elders came together to consider this matter. I just want to pause and ask the question. In chapter 14, verse 27, who was it that came together? In chapter 15, verse 6, who was it that came together? I'm not looking for names. I'm not... At its most basic answer, you know who came together? The ones that were there. In 1427, when they gathered the church together. Maybe it could have been a very big church. They might not have all been there. But who is it that could be said they came together? The ones that were there. In chapter 15, verse 6, the apostles and elders came together. Who was together? The ones who were there. We get it. We understand the word. It's not a hard word to figure out or to define. And when... I'll give you a family example real quick. When Abel had his first birthday back in January, Todd Mallory and Remy didn't get to come. They were still in South Georgia. It was because the timing of it, it was like a week or a week and a half before they were going to be making the move up here. And they couldn't come up here for one day and then go back. And then they didn't get to come. So here's what we did. Oh, I say we. Carla did. When it came time for the presents and the opening, and she FaceTimed Mal. And so, hold the thing. Mallory got to see. I think Ty was working, but Mallory saw the present. She saw the stuff. She was... But they weren't there. FaceTiming is not together. And we get it. Kids get it. This past week in the Midway, talking to some of the younger ones there, and sitting around, are you going to go to school? Are you going to stay home? Are you going to stream to school or virtual school, whatever it is they call it? Everyone, no, I don't want to do no virtual. I want to go where my friends are. Kids know. First graders know there's a difference in being there and not. Coming together and virtually being there. First graders know the difference. I think we all know the difference. Now, let me pause. I want to be very, very clear. I am so thankful. I am so thankful that we have our streaming service. Thank you so much, Daniel, for what you do and made that possible. When I was sick in November, I got to do that. I got to watch. I got to Wayne Chapel taught that day. I got to be taught. I was there in my house, and I got to see. I got to engage to the extent that I could engage. But not one time did I consider myself coming together. I was not with you. The definition means one with another. I wasn't with you. The definition means to... I'm thankful we have it. But FaceTiming at a birthday party is not being there. Virtually schooling is not being in that classroom. We get it. So I want to just encourage you about the blessings of what you are doing right now. The blessings of the decision you made to be here. First of all, there are friendship and relationships that we have. And 2 Peter chapter 1, that like precious faith. Relationships are built by spending time together. The closest people we have, the closest relationships we have, the closest friends that we have are the people we are around the most. But 2 Peter 1, when it talks about that like precious faith, let me just remind us, there is no greater commonality we have than that. We tend to hang around people we have things in common with. Football fans like talking to football fans. Fishermen like talking to fishermen. Seamstresses like talking to seamstresses. You've got something in common. You've got this vocabulary and you've got these hobbies. There's nothing under the sun that Christians ought to feel more in common with one another than the faith that we have in Christ. It is a precious faith. It is a like faith. And nobody else has it. It is common to Christians. It is unique to those believers who understand who God is, who understand who Jesus is, who understand who the Spirit is, who understand the law of Christ, what it means, and how it directs steps. And to be together is precious. How thankful for that. What a wonderful day today. Elwanda's here for the first time in a long time. Carolyn Tillery here for the first time in a long time. And ask them how precious it is when you've been sick and you can't be here and now you're apart again. Don't let us lose that preciousness of being together. Remember when we talked about edification? A few weeks ago, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I say a few weeks ago, it would have been at some point last month, we talked about edification, perhaps being that work of the church that kind of gets ignored a little bit. Nobody dares overlook the teaching. We got to teach. And when needs pop up among Christians, like, Johnny on the spot, how can we help? And then edification, this strengthening of one another, this supporting and lifting of one another. We are to help each other grow. We are to help each other advance. It is an authorized work of the church. And the church is not this building. The church is the people. Which means it's an authorized responsibility that we have one toward another. And it doesn't come through meals and games. The institutional issue has made that very clear. It doesn't come through meals and games. But neither does it come by osmosis. To use a work term, we've got to get our hands dirty. So there are some things that you just have to do. In 2 Corinthians, I'm sorry, if I've got you in first, I'm backward. 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, all our affliction. Let's just pause. But has there been some times the last couple, when the world went crazy, have you needed some comfort? Have you felt some tribulation? Even a little. Have you felt some affliction? Even a little. We're applying this in different ways. We understand that. But we can apply it. Who comforts us in all our tribulation, all our affliction, that we might be able to comfort them who are in trouble. Have you known some people? I was making it personal. Have you felt the need for some comfort? Have we, me and you, felt the need of maybe some affliction? Okay, that's one answer. That's one thing. But the admonition here is, we comforted by God so that we can comfort another. Read it again. Is that not what it says? God comforting us in all our tribulation and affliction, that we might be able to comfort them that are in any trouble by the comfort in which we ourselves are comforted of God. We can't just suck it all up to ourselves. We have responsibilities to others. Leonard leads a song sometimes about the sea, the Dead Sea that sucks up all that water and then just pulls it up. And it doesn't go anywhere else. It doesn't share it with anything else. It just collects there and dies. And that's not us. That's what that song is asking. Which sea are we? Are we one that passes things on? Are we on that blesses others? Or do we just, is it all about us? That we might be able to comfort them that are in any trouble by the comfort which we ourselves have comforted. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds by Christ. It's hard to do that when you're not wanted to be around. And that's one of the side effects. Don't come near. Don't come close. Don't come to my house. And I'm not coming to your house. How do you comfort? How do you encourage the weak? How do we encourage the ones who need it? When they won't let you do it. It's a side effect that may have gotten lost because all we think of it is as a health issue. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. We studied this verse some. I don't remember how long ago it was in our discipleship class on Wednesday night, but we looked at this not too awful long ago. Verse 24, a responsibility that we have one toward another. Hebrews 10, verse 24, let us consider one another to provoke to love and to good works. And we talked about that word provoke. It would a way we might understand it today would be to spur. Think about the rider. Think about the horseman. We talked about spurring the horse to get them moving, to get them going. Consider one another to provoke, to spur on, to encourage. That is really hard to do when you're not allowed to be around somebody. Imagine spurring a horse and you can't even get in the stable. Not really easy, huh? Yeah. Love and good works. That's our mission. That's part of our fruit producing while we're here. And we're to encourage others to do that. And the simple truth is it's really hard when they won't let you in their life anymore. Turn to Colossians 3. We talk about those are hard. Edifying is hard when you can't be around. Spurring on is hard when you can't be around. Here's one that's just plumb near impossible. Colossians 3. Verse 16. Colossians 3, verse 16. We know this. We usually teach it for another matter. We're talking about authority and worship and so on. But just verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's impossible to do when you're not with anyone. I'm thankful. We had our stream. I'm thankful. Like, could you imagine how horrible Corona would have been if it was 15 years ago? And there wasn't a stream to be. There was none of this stuff. It wasn't possible to do this. Could you imagine how shut off people would be? Do you imagine how alone and how much loss of teaching people would have gotten? We live in a good time period. I mentioned earlier, do not misunderstand anything I'm saying today. I'm not saying that we don't need it. I'm not saying it doesn't have a role. I'm not saying I'm not thankful we had it. I got to use it. I got to be a part of it. I got to be taught when I wasn't here. But what I'm telling you is, I didn't edify a soul that day. What I'm telling you is, and I'm making it personal, I didn't teach and admonish a soul through songs, hymns, and spiritual songs that day. I did not do it. And nobody else can do it either. There's a blessing of what you are doing right now. And don't let this world shame you. Don't feel like you've made a horrible choice and a reckless choice. No, you are fulfilling responsibilities. You taught me and admonished me today. Thank you. You edified me today. Thank you. Because I need it. It was a rough week. I mean, you covered a lot of miles and a lot of tired. You got tired, and there were some emotional things going on that found out through the week that kind of got our heads spinning a little bit. And we needed that time every night to be with Christians, to just put that stuff aside and say, well, let's talk about the important things. And that's what you decided to do today. Thank you. You're building us up. You're strengthening us, and we owe you for that. Satan separating us. Could you think back to, this is all hypothetical, but just, we know what happened with Job. And hey, I can do everything but this. Can't take his breath. Can't kill him. But okay. Could you imagine if Satan had been offered an opportunity that we wouldn't be together very much? We wouldn't be together as we normally would, as we should, would have done if things were normal. And Satan separating us, regardless of the reason, it only helps him. We grow weaker. Edification means to grow up, to grow stronger, to be built up. We grow weaker, not stronger, when we are separate, trying to serve on our own without the help of others. If edification wasn't so important, it wouldn't have been a work of the church. If spurring on and provoking on wasn't necessary, if we didn't need that, God wouldn't have wanted us to do it to one another. We grow weaker, not stronger, and it's regardless of the reason. It hinders our ability to edify and support one another, regardless of the reason. I know the reason's real. I know the reason's valid. But who's benefited by it? Satan or the cause of Christ? Who's smiling about it? It's a side effect that's probably been ignored. Shame on me for ignoring it so long. You're here, and I'm glad you're here. There's blessings from being here. And let's go through some. There's the way of, it's a way we draw nearer to God, and we're doing it together. Look in Psalm 122. I know we know Psalm 122 verse 1. But we're going to look at the whole psalm. Not the whole psalm, but more than that. And as you're turning there, you remember when we studied the psalms a couple of years ago? This is a psalm of ascent. Remember that? Remember what the songs of ascent were, the psalms of degree? It were psalms that were sang as people made their way to Jerusalem for feast days. Remember, Jerusalem sat on the hill. And so a psalm of degree. It was a psalm of elevation. As they were marching to Jerusalem for feast days, as they were making their way to the temple, these were songs that they sang. We have invitation songs. We have Lord's Supper songs. They had songs of marching to Jerusalem, psalms of ascent. This was one of them. So can you picture, go back thousands of years ago, and here we are coming to Jerusalem, coming to the temple, and here's what we're singing. Verse 1, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. It's a long trip from Galilee to Jerusalem. It's a long trip from Tarsus to Jerusalem. But it took some effort, took a lot of time, took a lot of... I was glad when they said, let's go. That's what David is saying. Verse 2, our feet will stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Can't wait to get there. I'm glad we get to go. I can't wait to put my feet there. Verse 4, when the tribes go up, and that, this was all of them making their way. From all the tribes, all the regions, they're all making their way to Jerusalem. When the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, according to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. I was glad they said go. And it's a long walk, but I can't wait till I get my feet there, because the Lord is worthy. I want to tell Him thanks, and I want to do it with the tribes. Verse 6, pray for peace of Jerusalem. Verse 8, for my brethren and companions' sake. It wasn't just about them. It said, we're all coming together. And for my brethren and my companions' sake, let there be peace. And look at Isaiah 6. We've got this incredible opportunity of drawing near to God. We have this inherent need within us to worship something greater than ourselves. And David was just hitting on that need. The beauty of it, the wonder of it, the excitement of it, the pleasure of it, the thankfulness that he had from it. And so there's joy and gladness to be had. I understand last week Cody talked about joy. I heard wonderful things about that lesson. David, feeling it, understanding it. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5, so there's not just this joy and this gladness that we have, but there's also this humility and this reverence. When Isaiah saw himself before the throne, he saw those angelic beings and those heavenly beings. He says, "Woe is me, I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King." And so you've got this combination of the joy and the gladness. And it's just married and mingled with this humility and reverence. Don't let us ever forget that. Don't let us be complacent or content to not have that part of our lives. It's where we gain in knowledge. The teaching and the souls that's being fed. That happens in other ways, but we're together. There's this stronger hope and trust. I appreciated so much Trevor's prayer because he prayed about that very thing. That's the interesting thing about this that's going on. We see it as this horrible thing, and to a certain extent it is. We see it as this thing that's taken away some rights, and it has. But he was exactly right in that prayer. We can be stronger when it's over if we handle it right. We can come out of this with greater hope in God, greater trust in God, greater strength in faith, greater perseverance. We can be better if we handle this right. We come out with more courage, not more fear, if we handle it right. So there's this strengthening of hope and trust that we can do for one another. There's the opportunity of exhorting and provoking that we read earlier in Hebrews chapter 10. We are here together, and you provoke me. You have strengthened me. Your presence here makes me better, makes me want to be better. And all I can say is, thank you. But my responsibility now falls back to 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3. We're comforted so that we can comfort. We are exhorted. To play on that a little bit. We exhort. We have been exhorted. Now we have a responsibility to exhort. We have been edified. We have the responsibility to edify. That can't happen all the time through the FaceTime and there's blessings of what you've decided to do. And I just want to encourage you. And then I put this last on the list to emphasize it. Should have been first and last if I go back and do it again. It's what God wants. A blessing of what you have done is that it pleases God. When we were studying discipleship, one of the first lessons we talked about, what is the number one role of a servant? Please the master. That's it in a nutshell. Now, there's a bunch of ways that is put into effect. But the bottom line thing is, a servant is to please the master. And what you have decided to do today is pleasing to the Lord. He says, don't forsake the assembly. And you didn't. There was an older Christian that called, I got to visit with not long ago. And she made the statement, and I'm paraphrasing, but the gist will be right. She says, this is someone who was raised in the church, good parents, always trained and taught and admonished correctly. And she said, you know, I was taught all my life about the value of assembling, about the importance of being together. And here's the paraphrase. I don't exactly remember how she worded this. But she said, you know, I heard it, but you know what? Never really let it. You know, this is what we did. And she said, now I understand. Now that it's been taken away, now that I have missed so much, now it makes more sense than it did then. And I guess this room's full of people like that. It took losing it to realize how much we missed it. And there was another friend I have who, after missing, and he said his first Sunday back, couldn't make it through the song service before tears hit his face. Just moved to tears because he was now back doing what he had missed so much. You know, there are blessings to what you're doing. And I know there are people in the world who will tell you that it's not a wise decision, that it's a reckless decision, that it's it pleases God. And now you work your way back up the list. And all I will say to you is, amen. Thank you for what you did. Thank you for what you're doing. And yes, there are risks. What else are we risking? Let me just throw a scenario out. What else are we doing in our world? We talk about, let's get back to normal. You know, we pretty much have. Take out the mask. Take out the 6 feet. Take out the washing the hands, probably more than we've ever done. Basically, every restaurant in Coleman that is going to open is opened. The ones who haven't opened up now probably went bankrupt and they're gone. Restaurants are full speed. Basically, every shopping center in Coleman is full speed. The ones who haven't opened yet probably won't. They probably didn't make it through the quarantine and they're gone. Something will have to take its place. But this city is back. For the most part, this country is back. The only thing different is we mask up when we go in public, we wash our hands more, and we're aware of spacing. And so my question is, if we mask up and wash hands and keep spacing and go to restaurants and sit down and get served by people we have never met, we go to restaurants and get handed food out the window by teenagers and we don't know what in the world happened on the other side of that window. We mask up and wash hands and go shopping for clothes. We mask up and wash hands and go buy stamps or we mask up, wash hands, and go to work. We get together for family deals. We get together with those closest of friends. I'm just humbly asking, if we're doing all of that, if the only thing we're not willing to do is mask up and wash hands and come together. That's all I'm asking. Is it just time to maybe reconsider? I know just asking the question is going to make people mad at me. Please don't be mad at me. This lesson either applies or it does not. I'm just broaching the question. There are people among us who are bedridden. This lesson doesn't apply. They can't come. There are people among us who cannot come together because they're in a nursing home and that nursing home has not been made open yet. They can't leave. They can't have people pick them up. And this lesson doesn't apply. But now if it does apply, if we are doing everything else, all I'm asking is, let's just at least make a fresh new decision. Let's not let our March decision or April decision be our August decision. I'm just asking for a fresh look. And then we make our own choice. And aren't we glad that we serve a merciful, compassionate God who is gracious? God will judge. No one else. So please don't be mad at me just for simply asking the question. It applies or it doesn't. If it doesn't, it doesn't. If it does, it does. And once having a fresh August decision, once that's been made, we stand before God. I'm just wanting to remind us there are blessings of being together that we can't get anywhere else in this universe. It's a wonderful thing. Get your songbooks out. We think this is nice, and it is nice. But it'll be nothing when the saints gather around that throne and we join into the new song and we get like those heavenly beings, those elders and those flying creatures and those seraphims and those
When we get to join in, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, thou art worthy to receive honor and praise and glory and power, and it goes on for all eternity. That's going to be a nice togetherness. And what we do now has complete, total bearing on where we get to spend that eternity then. If you're not a Christian, Jesus died for you. He's your Lamb. Take advantage of that death. He's your King. He reigns. Confess Him as your Lord. Repent of your sins and be baptized and wash those sins away and come together with His church. You'll be added to the number, adding daily those that were saved. He'll know who you are and you'll be there. For those of us that are Christians, it's just remember our responsibilities to one another. We are our brother's keeper. We do edify. We do comfort. We rejoice with the rejoicers and cry with the weepers. We love each other. Aren't we glad we have each other? If we need the prayers of those whom we love and trust, take advantage of that now while we stand and sing.